This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg here with you on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas on a night where the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers played game number 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, and the series has come to a conclusion. For the second consecutive season, the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champions, defeating the Oilers 5-1 in game number 6, 4-2, and they win the cup on their home ice for the second consecutive year, last year in 7 games, this year in 6 games, and Sam Bennett was named your Conn Smythe winner, leading the postseason with 15 total goals. You could have gotten him at North at 30-1 odds to win the Conn Smythe prior to the start of the Stanley Cup Final. But congratulations to the Florida Panthers. They absolutely deserved it. They were the better team throughout the entirety of this series. There were moments where this series was actually evenly played. If you looked at all situations in this series, and game number 3 aside, which was really marred by all the penalties that the Oilers took, but in games 1, 2, and 4, this was a very evenly played series. And to some arguments, if you look analytically speaking, at least, slight edge towards the Edmonton Oilers. Oilers win game number 1. They lose game number 2. They lose game number 3 in embarrassing fashion, and they win game number 4. So of the evenly played games, they took 2 of the 3. They took so many penalties in game number 3. They lose 6-1. Then the series is tied at 2 games apiece, goes back to Edmonton for game number 5, where Florida was just flat out better. And in game number 6, the Oilers decide to go back to Stuart Skinner in net. And for the 6th straight game in these playoffs, the Panthers score multiple goals in the first period as they get out to an early lead and they don't relent. This team was incredible. They have been incredible. 3 straight trips to the Stanley Cup Final, 2 straight wins in the Stanley Cup Final. This has been an incredible run for a Florida Panthers team that absolutely deserves to be crowned champions of this NHL season. They are the second favorite now moving forward to take a look at next year's championship odds. It's the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers who are your favorites for next year's Stanley Cup. Oilers plus 650 and Panthers plus 700. And we can have a whole conversation about that because I don't necessarily agree with those odds. But just wrapping up this season and wrapping up this postseason, there's been a lot of talk, at least on social media, after the loss about Connor McDavid's status and whether or not he's overrated or how bad he was in this final. And I had to defend Connor McDavid. I posted on Twitter. Again, you guys can follow me at Scott's On Air. For anyone saying that McDavid was bad in the Stanley Cup final, it's just a lazy take, and they clearly don't know hockey. If you look at the stats, McDavid, 3rd most expected goals in the series. 2nd with 1st assists. He had the most rebounds created off of his shots. He had the 2nd most takeaways, and he did not give away the puck 1 time. I mean, actually, McDavid, let's see. I might have to edit this tweet because I think I got something wrong here. 2nd in the series in expected goals. 2nd best. I'm looking at right now. Let's see. All situations. So we have to go all, or maybe I have to change this for the Panthers. Give me a second here. All situations, individual expected goals. Sam Bennett, 2.99 for the Florida Panthers. He had 5 goals in the series. For the Edmonton Oilers, 3.32. Corey Perry, 3.1. Connor McDavid. 2nd best in the series in expected goals. 2nd in the series in 1st assists, 1st in rebounds created, 2nd in takeaways, didn't give away the puck a single time. That dude played incredible hockey. But his team was not as good as the team that won. Here was Connor McDavid after the loss in game number 6. We'll hear from Connor McDavid in just a second, get you his thoughts on how the Panthers outplayed the Oilers here in this series. And you can look at goaltending. That's certainly one angle that we're going to look at is goaltending. There was a distinct advantage for Florida with Sergei Bobrovsky, as opposed to both the combination of Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard. But overall, as a team, depth, major, major advantage for Florida. Here was Connor McDavid after the loss.
I mean, obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice. You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them. They played well.
A visibly frustrated Connor McDavid. I get it. And he's right. The forecheck was incredible for the Panthers. I used the word relentless because that's what they were. Florida never allowed Edmonton to get anything clean. And there were turnovers inside the Oilers zone that led to high danger chances for the Panthers. It happened multiple times in this series. It happened again here in game number 6. And it doesn't matter who you have in net. You're going to put your goaltender in bad situations. And if your goaltender is not up to snuff, like certainly Stuart Skinner and even Calvin Pickard were not, they're not going to come through for you and you're not going to win these games. I think that Edmonton got fortunate to be where they were. But coming into this entire postseason, the Oilers were not a team that was expected to get back to the Stanley Cup final. They were slight favorites over the LA Kings in the first round. And I've made the argument multiple times. If the Kings don't challenge the game tying goal in game number 3, the Oilers might be eliminated in the first round. LA won the first 2 games in that series, had a 4-3 lead in game number 3, gives up the game tying goal, challenges it stupidly, loses the challenge, and then the Oilers scored 10 seconds later on the power play to take a 5-4 lead. Then Calvin Pickard's in net now instead of Stuart Skinner because of how bad Skinner was in the first 2 games. Pickard wins 6 straight games for the Edmonton Oilers. He gets hurt in that Vegas series. Vegas didn't play well. Dallas didn't play well. Stuart Skinner was great in that Dallas series. I mean, much better than he was earlier in the postseason. And some would argue that Dallas even, you know, eliminating Colorado earlier in the playoffs did Edmonton a favor. Colorado, Dallas, even Winnipeg were all better than Edmonton. Yet the Oilers showed the championship build that they had last year, forcing a game 7 after being down 3 games to none and getting this series to game number 6 where really they were overmatched against a better Florida Panthers team. But I'll defend Connor McDavid because he actually played really well in this series. Really well in this series. And all the advanced numbers show you, as I tweeted out, how good Connor McDavid was in this series. Second most individual expected goals, second most first assists. First, and think about the first assist. The reason why I want to bring that up is because in hockey, to get the second assist, sometimes it's a great play and you had a major contribution in that play, you know, tic-tac-toe passing, whatever it is. Or if you're on a power play and you're the quarterback distributing the puck. But sometimes you just get that second assist by default. But the first assist, that directly impacts the goal being scored. So McDavid had the second most first assists in the entire series. He had the most rebounds created, second most takeaways, and he didn't give away the puck one time. He was tremendous in this series. So anybody that says that McDavid was not good in this final doesn't know hockey and is offering up a lazy take. And if that's what you see here on Wednesday on your sports TV programs or on your sports debate programs, well, then hashtag embrace debate, because that's all it is. It's clickbait. It's trying to get eyeballs. It's people that don't know hockey that are going to just grasp at something to stir up the conversation. It's the same people that said that Tyrese Halliburton is a superstar after his performance in the NBA Finals, which we all know that's not the case. Okay, a couple of clutch shots do not make you a top 10 NBA player. Great series for the Florida Panthers. Good series for the Edmonton Oilers. And a great dynastic run now for the Florida Panthers. And the question is, does it continue next year? The Oilers are your favorite to win the Stanley Cup next season. I think they have to address the goaltending if they're going to be a contender next season. And that could be a quick fix. We've seen teams with quick goaltending fixes before. The New Jersey Devils had to address their goaltending last offseason. They acquired Jacob Markstrom from the Flames, and they become a contender until Jack Hughes gets hurt. The Panthers, though, is the second favorite. Can they get to a Stanley Cup final for the fourth straight season? It's going to take a lot. That's a lot of hockey to be played. That's a lot of hockey to be played. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, well, start with a VSiN Pro subscription. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. That gives you a full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, which is the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, season-long best bets. You're also going to get everything a VSiN Pro subscriber gets, which is the daily email with the best bets from the hosts and the guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa Sports, live on-demand shows on the VSiN Watch app, analytic breakdowns and betting tools on VSiN.com. So don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. From one championship series ending to potentially another championship series ending this week, Game 6 of the NBA Finals is on Thursday in Indiana. The Pacers and the Thunder, OKC with a 3-2 series lead. And with the news of Tyrese Halliburton's injury, the market has moved the spread on this game. Right now, the Thunder are 6.5-point favorites in Indiana. They were 5 to 5.5-point favorites, but the market obviously moving with the Tyrese Halliburton news. By the way, we have a quote here from Tyrese Halliburton as he talked about his injury and his status for this game. Let's hear from the Pacers point guard.
I mean, it's NBA Finals. It's the finals, man. I've worked my whole life to be here, and I want to be out there to compete, help my teammates any way I can. I was not great tonight by any means, but, it's not really a thought of mine to not play here. You know, if I can walk, then I want to play. So, they understand that and is what it is. And got to be ready to go for game 6.
Halliburton's going to have an MRI on that calf strain. He's going to play. He's going to play because he's a player. He's going to play in this game. And once he is announced that he is going to play in this game, the market should move accordingly. And it should go down to, maybe 6, maybe 5.5. And then I'll be on the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are the play for me. This series is going to end. And you can just look back, first off, what we saw in the fourth quarter of game number 4 and then translated into the full game in game number 5 really showed me that whatever strategy Rick Carlisle had implemented earlier in the series, the way that he utilized a full court press to disrupt the flow of the offense for the Oklahoma City Thunder, to give them trouble dribbling the ball up the floor, OKC figured it out. Utilizing Jalen Williams as a primary ball handler and putting Isaiah Hartenstein back in the starting lineup and setting those screens earlier in the front court, or in the backcourt, I should say, that helped OKC get more into their offense. With SGA playing off the ball, it helped their offense. And Jalen Williams scored 40 points. He was incredible in that game number 5. I don't know if that is going to duplicate itself, but I think he'll have success like he did in game five. I think he'll have success here in game number six. I think OKC figured it out. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them absolutely roll here in game six. But now let's look historically here, because I've been looking at historical trends when it comes to these NBA finals in every single game, because this has been a historic NBA finals. The Thunder with one of the heaviest favorites we've ever seen in an NBA finals. The game spreads have been as high as we've ever seen. And now we have a heavy away favorite in a game number six of a series. And let's just think logically about how that has to play out. What has to happen in order for a team to be an away favorite in a game six of a playoff series? Because if a series has gotten to a game six, that means that the other team has won two games, right? Or maybe even three games, because they could have a 3-2 lead and just be home dogs, like whatever. But they have to have won at least two games. So if they've won two games, the series is 3-2 either way. It's obviously a closer series than what was initially thought of. It just has to be, right? Otherwise, how do you explain the two, at least two wins? And with a team being home in game number six, there's a big boost in the market for the home court advantage. But if that team is a home dog in game number six, what does that tell you about the way that the series plays out? Well, it tells me that obviously that road favorite lost games that they shouldn't have lost. Because if the market hadn't adjusted by the game six of a seven game series, where the road team is still a big favorite, that tells me that the market believes they lost games they shouldn't have lost. And that's what happened in this series, right? OKC shouldn't have lost game number one. They had to lead the entire game. They shouldn't have lost. And so, if we look at the history of teams in this situation as the away favorites in game six, market telling us these are clearly the better teams in the series. Well, those teams are 40 and 15 straight up. 73% winners against the spread, 34-20-1. That's 63% ATS. Away favorites in game six of an NBA playoff series. This goes back to 2003 or 2002. The 2002 season it goes back to. The Thunder are the better team in this series. Even if Haliburton was at 100%, the Thunder are the better team. Indy stole game number one. There's no other way to put it. Thunder were in control the entire game. Indy stole it. Thunder dominated game number two. That was more indicative of what this series should have looked like. OKC should have had a two games to none lead, but they didn't. Game number three, we got to give all the credit in the world to Indy. They played great. And that was essentially the zig-zig-zag spot that we always talk about when it comes to the NBA playoffs, where it's an incredible situation for that team having that first home game. And yes, that scenario always is the zig-zig-zag we talk about when that team loses games one and two on the road, and then they're in an incredible situation in game number three at home. But, I mean, the Pacers essentially lost that game number one. They got outplayed the entirety of the game, so they were coming home with a little bit of desperation trying to prove something, because game two played out how game one should have played out. And they should have been down two games to none. But they played great in that game number three. And then they played great for the most part in game number four, but they got outplayed in the fourth quarter by a better team that figured it out. And in game number five, that better team that figured it out dominated. And so now in game number six, like I said, even if Tyrese Haliburton was healthy, this series is ending. Thunder are winning this game. And the Thunder are the only way that I can bet this game is laying the points with OKC. Now, you could have gotten a better number yesterday. You might be able to get a better number tomorrow. Wait and see the report on Tyrese Haliburton, because once he is officially announced in, and let's say the MRI comes back clean and everything's fine, there should be a little bit of an adjustment in the market, because the line that is out right now is only adjusted because of the Halliburton news. The little uncertainty, if you will, that he is going to play in this game, which I believe there is no uncertainty that he plays. He will play in this game. Total is down to 222.5, which is lower than what we have seen. And we just know historically that the later you get in a playoff series, the lower scoring of the games are. Like game sixes and game sevens tend to go under. I mean, I'm looking back at those same games that I talked about with the away favorites in game number six. So like, obviously it doesn't matter homer favorite in game six. In those games, 34-19-2 to the under. So strong lean towards the under here in this game. Hey, this summer, you guys can go all in here at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package. It's just $400 all in, and here's what you're going to get. A two-night stay here at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, plus your very own daybed at Stadium Swim, all for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. This is a limited-time offer. It runs through September 4th, so don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package right now at CircaLasVegas.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network here at VSIN Live. In Major League Baseball here on Tuesday, Rafael Devers made his San Francisco Giants debut. The Giants did lose to the Guardians 3-2. Devers, though, goes over all of his props. He was 2-for-5. He had an RBI double, so he goes over his total bases. He goes over his hits plus runs plus RBIs. But the Giants fell to the Guardians despite a good start from Robbie Ray on the mound. Will that be the case coming up here on Wednesday as Justin Verlander is back for the Giants, scheduled to get the start against Logan Allen? We'll take a look at the full Major League Baseball slate for Wednesday. We do have one day game on the schedule, which is, it's a day game on the West Coast. Red Sox and the Mariners, Garrett Crochet and Luis Castillo, your scheduled pitchers. So we'll take a look at that game and the rest of the slate of Major League Baseball games here on Wednesday and take a look at some of the better plays here in the market. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg, and you're listening and watching Cashin' Out right here on VSiN. It's the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Mentioned Rafael Devers goes over his batter props in his Giants debut. A 3-2 loss, though, to the Cleveland Guardians. And Justin Verlander will get the start for the Giants here on Wednesday as they look for revenge against the Guardians. Going for Cleveland is Logan Allen. For Justin Verlander, he is going to be activated off the 15-day IL to make this start. Last time we saw Verlander on the mound was on May 18th against the A's. He went four innings, allowed two runs on three hits with just one strikeout and five walks, and then he headed to the IL. So Verlander coming off the IL, making his first start again since May 18th. And we'll see how deep he goes into this game. I got to be honest, I don't like betting on guys in their first starts coming off of the IL. So this is something that gives me a little bit of a pause, a little hesitation on the San Francisco Giants. Right now, looking at the line, Giants are minus 141. Total in this one is 8, with Logan Allen going for the Guardians. Elsewhere, the Padres and Giants had an had an exciting game on Tuesday night where the Dodgers get the 8-6 victory over the Padres. But something happened for the first time in that game last night that Dodgers fans had never seen. Shohei Ohtani struck out four times. The first time in a Dodger uniform that Shohei Ohtani has struck out four times in a game. They call that the Golden Sombrero. It's the fifth time in his career that he has struck out four times in a game. So will Ohtani bounce back here on Wednesday when the Dodgers and Padres meet again? Emmett Sheehan, speaking of pitchers coming off the IL, Emmett Sheehan coming off the IL to get the start for the Dodgers, and getting the start for the Padres is Steven Kolek. Kolek's had actually a decent season, and which is interesting because his ERA is 3.5, but I mean, look at that game that he had against the Marlins when he allowed the five runs in the first inning and then still picked up the W. Kolek's been okay. I mean, gave up four runs in his last outing against Arizona. Prior to that, 5 2/3 shutout against Milwaukee, 5 2/3 shutout against San Francisco. And if you take away the six runs that he gave up in the first inning against Miami, he went 4 1/3 shutout innings after that. So literally 20 consecutive scoreless innings he had gone on the mound. And then against Arizona, gave up some runs in the second, third, and really three runs in the fifth inning is what did him in. So Steven Kolek's been decent now for the Padres. I don't think Ohtani's going to strike out four times. If there's a prop bet on how many times he'll strike out, I'll take the under on that. So a little bounce back on Shohei Ohtani, in my opinion. Will there be a bounce back for the New York Yankees? That is something to keep an eye on. The Yankees were shut out on Tuesday night for the third consecutive game. 29 scoreless innings for the Yankees. I had tweeted something out earlier in the game, and I know that they put it on VSiN Primetime on Tuesday night during the game. I said the Yankees may never score a run again. Their offense, I mean, I laugh because it's the only thing I can do when watching this Yankee offense. They look pitiful. They look absolutely pitiful right now. 29 consecutive scoreless innings. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch. And Aaron Boone says they're in a little bit of a slump right now. It's a lot more than a little bit of a slump. Something is fundamentally wrong with the Yankees' approach right now. It's not just Aaron Judge going through a slump and the rest of the team just buying into it. Something is fundamentally wrong. Now, I don't know if it has to do with their scouting. I don't know if it's their approach, because these pitchers that they are not getting hits against are not the Cy Young candidates. These aren't the elite arms in Major League Baseball. These are moderate arms that other teams have had very much success against. So it's not like they're getting overpowered by these great pitchers. They're just having terrible at-bats. Terrible at-bats. So does it change here against Jack Kokanowicz and the Angels on Wednesday? Yankees are north of minus 200 favorites. They were minus 250 on Tuesday. How do you lay that price with a team that hasn't scored in 29 innings? Going for the Yankees is Ryan Yarbrough. He's been really good, surprisingly good for the Yankees in a starter role. You know, he's a guy that kind of bounced back and forth. The Rays used him as an opener. He was a relief pitcher. Then he becomes a starter, stretched out. The Yankees have stretched him out, and he's done an incredible job. Can the Yankees get some hits? Can they score some runs? Yankees minus 215 total in that game between the Yankees and the Angels is at 9.5. Again, how do you bet the over? And how do you bet the Yankees if this team hasn't shown that they can score this week? This is a big-time slump from the Yankees right now. Big-time slump. I'll tell you who's not slumping is the Colorado Rockies. Rockies hit four home runs in the seventh inning alone yesterday as they win for the second straight time against the Nationals, 10-6. But for the third straight game, the Rockies have won now. This is another three-game winning streak for Colorado. In these three games, they've scored 26 runs. A 10-1 win against the Braves to finish out that series. A 6-4 win over the Nationals and come-from-behind fashion, thanks to the long ball. They're hitting a bunch of home runs. And then 10-6 on Tuesday night against the Nationals. They will look to make it four straight wins as Herman Marquez gets the start for the Rockies and Mitchell Parker goes for the Nationals. Nats are minus 180. Total in this game is 9 at minus 118. I like the over in this game because Colorado has been hitting the, you know, they've been smacking the ball. And, well, I don't trust Germán Márquez. Frankly, I don't trust any Colorado pitcher. So I think that the Nationals could find themselves some runs in this game. And you got to like the way the Colorado's swinging the bats right now. So the over would be the way that I would look in this game between Germán Márquez and Mitch Parker, Nationals and Rockies there from D.C. Elsewhere, the Boston Red Sox, this is the one-day game. It is a 3 o'clock Eastern time start, so a 1:10 Pacific time start in Seattle. Red Sox and Mariners, the getaway day spot here. Garrett Crochet gets the start for the Red Sox, and Luis Castillo goes for the Mariners. Red Sox are slight favorites, minus 125 because of Garrett Crochet on the bump. The Red Sox get shut out on Tuesday night as this offense, without Rafael Devers, has been very unimpressive. They got the win on Monday, barely. A 2-0 victory in which Logan Gilbert came off the IL to start for the Mariners. He struck out 10 batters, and the Mariners just couldn't score off of Lucas Giolito. Giolito had 10 strikeouts also. And the Mariners had multiple opportunities. Well, not really a lot of opportunities, but they had multiple instances where they had opportunities. In the third inning, they load the bases with nobody out. They don't score any runs. And in the eighth inning, they had two runners on and nobody out. They don't score any runs. If they would have scored, though, they would have won the game. Because the Red Sox offense, that lineup, without Rafael Devers now, had nothing. Two runs on four hits in that first game on Monday. And then Tuesday night, they get shut out with only two hits. So in the first 18 innings without Rafael Devers, the Red Sox have scored two runs on six hits. This lineup, without Devers now, this lineup leaves a lot to be desired. So do I trust Garrett Crochet laying a price here on the road? I love Garrett Crochet, don't get me wrong. But I don't think I can't lay a price here. I could look towards the under, but the total is 7. You can look towards maybe a first 5 under, but that's going to be low at 3.5. First 3 under might be a way to look. If it's 1.5, that might be something to take a look at. This could be a very low scoring game between the Red Sox and the Mariners there. Sunny day in Seattle, two good pitchers against two lineups that I know the Mariners kind of, you know, exploded here with a big outburst scoring 8 runs, but it was the Red Sox certainly not scoring. So maybe a Red Sox team total to go under. Maybe you continue to fade Boston and this weakened lineup now without Garrett Crochet. Speaking of elite pitchers, the best pitcher on the planet, he takes the mound. Tarik Skubal is a minus 300 favorite. Tigers are against the Pirates. But can you blame the market here? I mean, Tarik Skubal is pitching on a completely different level right now. He's almost a lock to win his second consecutive Cy Young. There has to be a creative way to bet this, though. Maybe it's going with a Skubal prop, like earned runs allowed and going under, or going with a first 3 under or a Nerfy or something like that. If you do believe that Andrew Haney is going to have success against this Pirates lineup. But maybe it's a Pirates team total under or a first 5 team total under. Any way to back Skubal is going to be a good bet in this game because he has been absolutely lights out. We'll get to more Major League Baseball for this coming slate of games on Wednesday, including best bets coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's Cashing Out right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we continue to take a look at the Wednesday slate of Major League Baseball games, and we'll get you some best bets coming up here on the Wednesday slate of games. We do not have an NBA Finals game here on Wednesday. Game number 6 is coming up on Thursday, and I'm all over the Oklahoma City Thunder, but there'll be plenty more breakdown of game number 6 coming up throughout the day here on Wednesday on VSiN, as we'll get more information about Tyrese Haliburton, his MRI results, and his status for game number 6, which I fully expect him to play. Would be shocked if he does not play in this game. But let's get back into the Major League Baseball schedule, because there are some bets that I want to pinpoint here, some good opportunities in the market. And the first place I'm going to look is where I just mentioned earlier before the break, Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Tigers against the Pirates and Andrew Haney. Skubal has been just otherworldly this season. He's the overwhelming favorite right now to win the American League Cy Young for the second consecutive season. And there's no reason not to back him, especially at home, especially against the Pirates team that doesn't offer much up offensively. Skubal at home this year, a 1.72 ERA, a perfect 5-0 in 7 starts, just 9 runs allowed in 47 innings at home this season, with 63 strikeouts, only 1 home run allowed at home this season. He allowed 5 on the road this year, only 1 at home. So here in Detroit, I'm going to back Tarik Skubal, and I'm actually just going to go with an under early on. I'm going to go under 2.5 runs in the first 3 innings of this game. It's -160 to the under. I still think that's the play. I know it's juiced, but I like it because I expect Skubal to shut out the Pirates. I don't want to lay, though. Here's the thing. I don't want to lay. It's the similar price, -160, for the Pirates team total to go under 0.5 run in the first 3 innings. The only reason why I don't want to do that is because for the same price, yes, I know, I now have to worry about the Tigers. But I give myself the cushion if, for some reason, there's an errant pitch that winds up being a solo home run. Like, think about how bad you'd feel losing this wager at -160 if it's a 1-1 tie after 3 innings, or if the Pirates have a 1-0 lead. And let's say it's a 1-0 game going to the 5th or whatever, and Skubal only gives up the 1 run. If it was under 1.5 for the team total, of course it's a hammer spot. But 0.5 run, no. You can run into a pitch and get 1 run. But will there be 3 runs scored in the first 3 innings of this game? I tend to think not. I like Andrew Haney. I don't think that he's going to give up 3 runs. So if it's 2-0 Tigers, if it's 1-0 Tigers, if it's 1-1, I think that's the way I'm going to go here. Go under 2.5 runs in the first 3 innings between the Pirates and the Tigers. The splits for Andrew Haney on the road this year, a 3.72 ERA, so not great. 6 home runs allowed, 16 runs in 38 2/3 innings, but opponents only hitting .206 against him. So let's see if those runs come in the first 3 innings or if they come a little bit later on than that. But I'm going to go ahead and back Skubal here, and I think it's going to be a low scoring game early on. Elsewhere on the schedule, I'm going to take a plus money shot here with the Mariners. Coming off of this victory against the Red Sox, 8-0. Boston, as I mentioned, in the 2 games since trading away Rafael Devers, yes, they got the win on Monday, but in 2 games now, so that's 18 innings, only 2 runs scored on 6 total hits. This is a slumping offense. And I know Garrett Crochet is their best pitcher, and he is a rightful small favorite here on the road, but I think the Mariners might have found their bats here in this performance. Cal Raleigh homered, so he's probably feeling good about himself. And Luis Castillo is on the mound for the Mariners. You can get a small plus money price on the Mariners at home against a weakened Boston Red Sox lineup, I'll take that plus money shot every time here with the Seattle Mariners, plus 105 right now up on DK. Also, I'm going to go further later down the schedule, and I'm going to look at the Astros against the A's, the Astros who absolutely embarrassed the A's on Tuesday night in Sacramento, scoring 13 runs, a 13-3 victory over the A's. I'm going to back the Astros once again. These bats are hot right now. And pitching for the A's is Luis Severino here on Wednesday. And Severino has some of the more distinct, confusing, whatever adjective you want to say, home road splits that you're going to find here in Major League Baseball. On the road this year, away from Sacramento, Luis Severino has made six starts. In those six starts, Severino is 2-0 with a 0.93 ERA. A 0.93 ERA. In nine home starts in Sacramento this year, Luis Severino is 0-6 with a 7.10 ERA. I mean, those home road splits are unbelievable. This dude, great on the road, can't pitch in Sacramento. And what's the reason? Well, we've heard about it from pitchers, how difficult that mound is to pitch on there in Sacramento, how it doesn't allow for a good landing. And when you can't get your landing down, you have the tendency to stay up in the zone. And for maybe Severino, staying up in the zone leads to him getting hit more and giving up more home runs and thus giving up more runs. So I'm going to go with the Astros, and I'm going to go Houston minus 1.5 runs at minus 102. Framber Valdez on the mound for the Astros, so I certainly trust him. And I do not trust Luis Severino, especially in Sacramento. You can trust him on the road. You can't trust him at home. So Astros minus 1.5 runs. That will be my third best bet on this Major League Baseball schedule for Wednesday. And best bets are brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSIN will complete the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That is a $200 value. Here's what you do. You got to go right now to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. That's how you sign up. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Also coming up here on Wednesday, the College World Series resumes from Omaha. Louisville takes on Coastal Carolina in your day game. That is a 2 o'clock Eastern time start, where Coastal is a minus 238 favorite over Louisville. Coastal hasn't lost yet, and the total in this is 11 runs. Coastal minus 2.5 on the run line. You can get plus 110 on that. And your late game is the rematch, Arkansas and LSU. LSU winning the first game on Saturday against Arkansas. These were the top two favorites coming into the tournament, and LSU remains as the favorite to win the College World Series now, being undefeated. Your second favorite is Coastal Carolina. Right now, LSU even money, Coastal plus 215, Arkansas plus 280, and then Louisville is 20-1. In this matchup, Arkansas is minus 130. It's kind of where they were. Similar price to where they were on Saturday. I think Arkansas gets revenge. I think these teams are just very close to each other. Very, very close. Both teams can pitch. Both teams can hit. These are the two best teams in Omaha. That's why they were the top two favorites. And I think that having LSU win that first game, I see Arkansas bouncing back here and getting revenge in the rematch. So I'll take Arkansas minus 130. And then I love Coastal in that game against Louisville. I'll lay the minus 2.5 runs. Coastal, nation's longest winning streak, 25 consecutive wins right now. And if I had to make a pick to win the entire thing, I'd take the plus 215 on Coastal right now to win the College World Series. Hey, coming up next, start your morning with VSiN by the Book, featuring Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And looking for sharp golf betting insight, Wes Reynolds will be on to break down this week's field, including outrights, placement bets, and a few long shots that could cash big. And that's followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And then stick around for Money Moves at noon with Stormy and JVT. It's all coming up here on VSiN. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Congratulations to the Florida Panthers for the second consecutive season, your Stanley Cup champions. This is Cashin' Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.